Well, welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for being so faithful to the Lord and faithful to His Word, and taking the time out on purpose to sit down and to listen and to study and to see what saith the Lord concerning things. Today we're going back into our study of the letter R, which is the second study in the ABCs of Christian Growth, of the letter R, concerning resurrection. Resurrection. What does the Bible say about resurrection? Not anything, any specific resurrection, even though today we will be going into a specific resurrection, the Lord's resurrection Himself. But talking about resurrection, just the word and the surroundings of it and the characteristics of it and what the Bible has to say about resurrection concerning man, concerning anybody, everything and everything, just the whole thing. What does the Bible say about resurrection? We've been through quite a bit already, about five different studies so far, and this will be our sixth in this series. So we're going to begin with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, specific. We're going to talk about His specific resurrection and what the Bible has to say, and for just a little while, and see what the Bible has to say just about His resurrection specific. Amen? Well, to begin with, let's start with some characteristics of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Some characteristics around His resurrection, about His resurrection. First of all, it was foretold in the Psalms. If you believe your Bibles, the book of Psalms is part of your Bible in the Old Testament. And the book of Psalms talked about His resurrection way before ever it happened. And way before the Lord even came. In Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10 through 11, the Bible says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The Lord being spoken of and His resurrection being spoken of right there in Psalms. I believe it was David that was talking about that. And a lot of things that the prophets spoke of, they didn't even have any idea what they were saying or why they were writing that down as far as having to do with the future, having to do with the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His future death, burial, and resurrection. It was foretold in the Psalms. What else? Well, Acts chapter 13, verse 34 through 37, listen to what it says concerning it being foretold. And as concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, "I will give you the sure mercies of David, whereof He saith also in another psalm," just like what we just read, "Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption." Saw no corruption. And there it is again. Even the writer of Acts brought it up and mentioned that David had spoken about that in the psalm about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he was going to resurrect from the dead. And David, even that spoke about that, after he had served his own generation, he died and fell asleep. He did see corruption. His body rotted in the tomb. They put it in the tomb, and his body went back to the dust, like the Lord said, and he went to paradise, which is in heaven right now. He was transferred to heaven when the Lord resurrected, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Characteristics of Jesus Christ's resurrection, the first thing is that it was foretold in the Psalms. If you believe your Bible, there it is. Jesus rose from the dead. And His body did not see corruption, and David prophesied of it. And in the Acts, they spoke of it. in the New Testament concerning the Old Testament and its mention of it. Well, what else? Well, it was presented in prophecy. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was presented in prophecy. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible says this, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Who's he talking about? "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." This is somebody not even been born yet. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Man, that thing right there went all the way from before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. It was prophesied. He was born, he died, he resurrected, and it even says that he make an intercession for the transgressors. It went completely through the gospel right there in the book of Isaiah as prophecy given years and years and years before the Lord Jesus Christ even showed up. His resurrection was, one characteristic of his resurrection is that it was foretold in the psalm. Another one is that it's presented in prophecy. It's in the book. It's there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, listen to what it says. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." Notice how the writers of the King James Bible always take you back to the Scriptures and try to refer you to God's Word, which is God's will. God wants you to learn His Word. He don't want you listening to what people think, even though He gives you preachers and teachers, but God the Holy Ghost is your teacher, and He is your main teacher, and He's the one that you should trust to teach you the Word of God. But just a little sidetrack note there. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He's referring to the Old Testament, what we just read, Isaiah chapter 53, according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures weren't completed, what we had right when this was mentioned. Paul was writing this. The New Testament was just getting started putting together. The only Bible they had was the Scriptures, the Old Testament. But he's referring to Isaiah chapter 53 there, talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as prophecy. It was presented in prophecy. What was? The resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. What else is a characteristic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, it was announced by Christ Himself. It was announced by Christ Himself in Mark chapter 9, and verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, "And as they came down from the mountain, He charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen." Of course, this is the time when He took John and James and and Peter up on the mount and transfigured before them. But when it was all over and they were on their way down, the Lord told them, "Don't tell anybody until," and listen to what He says, "And as they came down from the mountain, He charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept saying with themselves, questioning one another, what the rising from the dead should mean." They didn't even know what the Lord was talking about. They had no idea that Jesus was going to die for the sins of men. They were walking around with the Messiah. They found the Messiah. He was there to deliver Israel and bring in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But little did they know that that wasn't how it was going to turn out. Jesus had other plans because he knew what Israel was going to do, that they was going to deny him and that they was not going to accept him as Savior. So it was going to be transferred over to the Gentiles, and the kingdom of God was going to come into play, and Jesus was going to die and was going to rise from the dead. And he mentioned that to them. He said, don't tell anybody. And they was walking around questioning in themselves, what's he talking about rising from the dead? What's that mean? But the Lord Jesus Christ told them. He said, out of his own mouth, I'm going to rise from the dead. In the book of John, chapter 2, we're talking about the characteristics of Jesus Christ's resurrection. The Lord announced it himself. John, chapter 2, and verse 19 through 22, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You see, Jesus brought that thing up, and he told them about it as he was going around for those 3.5 years teaching them. When the time came, he began mentioning that he was going to rise from the dead, that he was going to come back from the grave, he was going to resurrect. And he mentioned that about and said something to those religious people, and said, destroy this temple in 3 days, and I'll raise it up. And they didn't have no idea what he's talking about either. They thought he was talking about the temple, the actual temple there, that the Jews went and worshipped in. And he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about his body. He was talking about the body that he was going to give for the sins of men, and that was going to be put to death. So we see a characteristic of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is that it was announced by the Lord himself. What else? Well, it was proclaimed by the apostles. It was proclaimed by the apostles. It was foretold in the Psalms. It was presented in prophecy in more than a few places in prophecy about the Lord's resurrection, and especially his second coming, but his resurrection is what we're talking about and studying. And it was announced by Christ himself, and it was proclaimed by the apostles. In the book of Acts, they talk about it all the time. Acts chapter 2 and verse 31 and 32 says, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Of course, the Apostle Paul speaking there. Here's another one. Acts chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. I think one of them is Stephen. I think that might have been Stephen. I'm not sure. I have to go back and look at that. But the apostles testified of the Lord's and proclaimed it, of the Lord's resurrection. They didn't have any doubt in their mind that he came back to life and that he was resurrected from the dead. And whenever it all started coming to fruition after the Lord died, there was nothing but confusion because all they had was the Old Testament. They didn't, and they had 3.5 years of teaching that of what the Lord was telling them what was going to happen, but they had no idea. They couldn't put it together. They couldn't put it together because they didn't know about this thing of salvation being paid for by Christ's blood. They didn't know about all that. All this is being transitioned. It's happening. It's going from one thing to another. The Old Testament and works, faith and works, and it's going over to grace. And ever in salvation and man being saved by the blood of Christ, and it not only forgiving sins, but taking sins away, completely getting rid of them, completely. And the Old Testament couldn't do that, and the law couldn't do that. It was going from law to grace. Everything was transitioning, and these guys didn't know what was going on. They was just living through it. And as things started coming about, like the Lord's resurrection, they begin to remember. God the Holy Ghost would bring those memories of the scriptures back to them of what Jesus said, and what bring the Old Testament scriptures and what Jesus said out of his own mouth and bring them back, and they would remember that stuff. They'd remember that Jesus had said and spake before of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not going to be left in hell, and those things like that. But it was proclaimed by the apostles. When they started getting a hold of what was really going on there and what Christ had done, everything started coming together and making sense, and the New Testament started coming together and coming together in the way the Lord formed it, and as we have today, as we have today. The period of grace. We're in the dispensation of grace now. We're not under the law or the Old Testament before the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 2 and before and so on. We're way on up there and around Acts chapter 11 where the Christians come in. Those guys were finding things out and making sense of them and getting together and putting Christ's, teachings and his death and his burial and resurrection and all that together and trying to make sense of it, and the Holy Ghost was working in all that and having people write these things down, and then the Lord saved the Apostle Paul, and he came in and started writing the Pauline epistles and the gospel of the grace of God, and everything started making sense then. You see, so we're under the gospel of the grace of God, and that's what we are. But Christ's resurrection, some characteristics of it. What else are we talking about concerning Christ's resurrection specific? Well, how Christ's resurrection was accomplished, how it was accomplished. Well, first of all, now when we, on one of our previous studies, we talked about this a little bit, but never hurts to go over it again, but talking about Christ's resurrection being accomplished specifically his, it was by the power of God. Christ claimed that he was God, and he claimed that he could raise himself from the dead and nobody could stop him, that he had the power to do that. And he said that my Father's not going to leave me in hell. He's going to raise me from the dead. And God the Holy Ghost was in that thing. That Trinity was in there. All three members of the Trinity were in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power was there. It was God's power. God's power. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24 says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, God knew about it all ahead of time, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now this is Stephen here. Who God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The bottom line is the truth, the power of God was behind it, and it wasn't possible for them to kill him. They killed his body, but that was all in the plan that the Lord had. They said that even the scriptures say that if the devils and even the people that was killing him knew what the consequences was and what was really, really going on behind the scenes, that they would have never crucified him. Because when they crucified him, Man, that brought in the work of God having to do with the salvation of mankind. That nailed it down. That took care of it. That finished it, Christ said. And it did. And it did. How Christ's resurrection was accomplished was by the power of God, the Bible says. It wasn't possible for them to hold him down, whom God hath raised up, the Bible says. And also by the power of Christ. Christ's resurrection was accomplished by the power of Christ himself. Christ claimed that in the book of John. In verse 17-18 it says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, Christ's resurrection was accomplished by God's power, and not only God's power, but Christ's power. Christ, the second member of the Godhead, the Son of God, he is the Word, and by his power. He said, no man can take my life from me. He said, I lay it down, and I'm going to pick it back up, too. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to take it. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. That's what he said. How Christ's resurrection was accomplished? By the power of God. And by Christ's power. I'm glad our God has power like that, aren't you? I'm glad he has power right this very second as we speak. He has that power. If he didn't have that power to raise himself out of that grave, then we are worshiping Christ in vain. You have a God that has no power. If he didn't come out of that grave and have power to get himself out of that grave and raise that body up and bring that body back to life, he can't bring yours back to life. Don't you know that? I mean, if we're going to live forever, we're going to have somebody to either change us before we die, because we're dying, or after we die, bring that body back up and fix it where it'll live forever. You got to have a God that's powerful enough to do that. Jesus said he has that power. And God the Father backed him up and said he does. And God's power, it says, whom God hath raised up. And then Jesus said that he had the power because his Father gave it to him. And he had the power to do it. And no man could take it from him because he had the power to lay it down. And he had the power to take it up again. And he did. And then thirdly, what are we talking about? How Christ's resurrection was accomplished by God's power, by Christ's power, and by God the Holy Ghost's power. God the Holy Ghost, he's not a finite member of the Godhead. God the Holy Ghost is God. He is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead, of the triune Godhead, of the Trinity. He is not under anybody. He is alongside. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And by God the Holy Ghost's power, Christ's resurrection was accomplished. Or does it say that, Brother Thurman? Well, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him, talking about God the Holy Ghost, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. There's your power. There, by God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost was involved in that. God the Father was involved in that. And God the Son, Christ himself, the power of God. How Christ's resurrection was accomplished? by God the Father's power, by God the Son's power, and by God the Holy Ghost's power. I'm glad our God is three in one, just like he says he is, and I'm glad that all three have the same power in the Godhead, aren't you? Now, they have different offices, and we talk about that in other lessons, and that's a pretty neat study in itself. But we'll not go into that right now. But the power, how is it accomplished? Talking about Christ's resurrection specific. It was accomplished by God the Father, by God the Son's power, and by God the Holy Ghost's power. Now, what else? Well, proofs of Christ's resurrection. We got a little bit into that on one of these other studies concerning proof of Christ's resurrection. Now, we just got through talking about the characteristics of Christ's resurrection or around Christ's resurrection. Now, let's talk about Christ's resurrection, some proofs of it. Well, one proof that nobody can get away from and that a lot of people tried to hide was that empty sepulcher. I mean, they asked permission from the governor to take him down, take his dead body off of that cross and put it in the tomb. And they did, and people seen it. And people seen them put him in there, and people prepared for the Passover, and they were preparing to bring the burial things that they needed to prep the Lord's body, and it just everything that was going on around all that. But there's so many people seen that he was put in that tomb. His dead body was laid in there. And it was. They went and got it specifically and took him and put him in that tomb. But somehow or another, he wasn't there when they come back looking for him. And the scripture records that. The Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 1 through 9, I mean, there's a lot of people that lied and a lot of people paid some bribe money and all kinds of things when he come out of that grave, and they were scared because they even announced that he was going to come up and raise from the dead. And all the gainsayers and all the liars and all the religious folks that didn't want Christ to that wanted preeminence and wanted people to worship them. Man, they was paying out money. They was arranging things underhandedly to try to, you know, put the guards out there and in case all the liars come by and say they stole him or something like that. And they knew what was going on. They knew who Jesus was. Even that Roman soldier, after he died right there, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God." But the empty sepulcher is proof of Christ's resurrection. Nobody's ever found Christ's body. Nobody. They're still looking for it. It ain't here. He's wearing it. It's up there with him at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Glorified. Glorified body. John chapter 20 and verse 1 through 9, listen to this. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, which was John, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Believed what? Believed the scriptures that he remembered. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. You see, there's a lot of information they hadn't gotten yet. Oh, Jesus was carrying this thing out, and there's a lot of things that as the New Testament is coming in and as the apostles are learning and as they're learning about this great sacrifice that the Lord has made to take the place of the law and to transition into the gospel of the grace of God, they're learning all this. So they go into the sepulcher, and Christ is not there. He's gone. Now, one of two things, either somebody stole him, or either he never was there to begin with, which is not true because everybody knew he got put in there, or either he rose from the dead like he said he did. And see, they didn't have any idea what he was talking about, rising from the dead. I mean, when they killed him and he died on that cross, it was getting closer to them understanding that he was dead. I mean, that's halfway from rising from the dead, is that you have to be dead. So he was dead, and he was put in that tomb. So, you know, they're trying to figure these things out and trying to understand what's going on, and they've been 3.5 years with the Lord and listening to him preach and teach and tell them things that he didn't tell other people, and Christ is giving them information as they can use it, and they're putting these things together. But they go up here, and one proof of Christ's resurrection is that these people went up there looking for him, and the stone was rolled away, and his body was gone. His body was gone. The scriptures that you say that you believe, we just read that. And that's what it records. And God the Holy Ghost had it written down for us to read right here, right now, to understand what took place. One proof of Christ's resurrection is that empty sepulcher. There's no body. He's gone. Luke chapter 24 and verse 3 through 6 says, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed," they couldn't figure this thing out. "They were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee?" Now they're starting to, the memory's starting to come back. Christ has prepared them and prepared their thinking and prepared their teaching of what's going to take place. And now it's in transition. He's died and he's been buried, and now he's come up from the dead. And the angels are saying, Remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee? And these things are coming back to their memory. Oh, okay. And bringing these things out. Proof of Christ's resurrection is that empty sepulcher. Even the angels standing there said so. He ain't here. He's risen. Remember when he told you? Mark chapter 16, verse 5 and 6 says, "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment." Now, this is where Christ's dead body was, not just hours before. "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him." You can imagine what these disciples are thinking, man. This stuff is going on, and they're saying, they killed my Lord. I hate their guts. I hate these religious people that killed my Lord. And they didn't know Jesus. We knew him. He was for real. He was, the Lord was genuine. He was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God, and all the good things that he did, and they killed him, and I hate their guts for it. And now you're talking about some fishermen now. And now they're starting to find these things out, that he's not in that tomb. Wait a minute. He was in that tomb. I know he's in that tomb. I seen him carry him there. And I seen him roll that stone. They knew he was in that tomb. But when them women come and told him, and they went and checked, he was gone. And even the angels were there, one inside and two outside, is what it said. And told him, what are you looking for? You looking for a dead man? Ain't no dead man here. He's gone. Remember how he told you? And now all this teaching that Christ has been telling them and all these things that the Lord said was going to come to pass are starting to come into their minds and their hearts and starting to figure out, wait a minute. My Lord ain't dead. He's alive. Yeah. Talking about Christ's resurrection specific. Proofs of Christ's resurrection. Well, the first thing is the empty sepulcher. The empty sepulcher. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5 through 7 says, And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Man, you can imagine these people after they've seen what the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing their Lord be treated the way he was and crucified and slain like a lamb. I mean, just beat to death and hanging on that cross in humility and naked and shame and all the stuff going on, all the mockers walking around the cross, mocking him and all the devils flying around there and all that stuff going on. And they have to watch all that. And then he goes in the tomb, and they have all this information in their minds and in their hearts that the Lord's been telling them and teaching them about what's going on, but they can't figure this thing out because they don't understand it. It's a transition going on, see. All they know is the law. All they know is the Old Testament. The Old Testament is their Bible. That's what they have. You see, these are Jews. And that's all they know. But now all these things are coming in, and all these new things are coming in, this new covenant, this new testament, this new thing's coming in, and they're just figuring it out piece by piece and starting to boil up some joy in that heart when those angels are telling them, he ain't here, remember what he said? He's risen from the dead. Go tell his disciples that he goes ahead of you over to Galilee, and you'll see him in Galilee. Man, don't you know those women were burning it up down there, going down there to tell. But he wasn't in that tomb. One proof of Christ's resurrection is the empty sepulcher. Now, that sepulcher is probably buried over with dirt and everything else. I don't know if they say they found it or not or whatever. They find in things all the time. You know how they find things. But no matter whether they could find his tomb or whatever, that doesn't prove anything right now, nowadays, these days. It proved it then. It proved it then, and it was recorded for us. That they went to the tomb, and everybody knew he was in there, and he disappeared. He wasn't there. He rose from the dead. And because he had spoken of it and prophesied it, and is in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, it's all over the place that the Lord said, this is going on. People didn't understand it. We understand it because we have all the information now. They didn't have it. So all this going on is proof of Christ's resurrection. Now, some people say, well, I wasn't there. I didn't see his tomb. I didn't see this, that. No, but he left you his word in detail of all the past things, present things, and future things having to do with his resurrection to read and believe. And the Lord said, if they believe not the scriptures, they're not going to believe you. Proof of Christ's resurrection. Amen. All right. Well, what else? What else are we talking about? Well, we are talking about Christ's resurrection specific. The first thing is the characteristics of the Lord's resurrection. The second thing is how Christ's resurrection was accomplished. We know by the power of God, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and the power of God the Holy Ghost. And then we're talking about the proofs of Christ's resurrection. The empty sepulcher. Or what other proof? Well, how about the angel's testimony? I mean, the Lord provided angels to stand by that tomb and even be in the tomb when them people showed up to tell them what's going on. Because they showed up and nobody was there to help them out. All they know is the body's missing. And all they know, it's a dead body that's missing. Now, they have been told that Christ said he was trying to teach them. He said, I'm going to destroy this temple. I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. They heard that, but they couldn't figure it out. They didn't know Christ was fixing to give his blood and his body for the sins of man. They were under the law. That's all they knew. Sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and things like that. But Christ told them, and he kept telling them, piece by piece by piece, and they couldn't get it yet. But now it's coming together. And those angels' testimony is proof of Christ's resurrection. The Lord placed them there, told them, go down there and tell them. Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 through 7 said, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come see where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. He ain't dead no more. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth. He's not only risen, he's alive, and he's moving about. He goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. You're going to see a dead man? No, you're going to see a alive man. You're going to see a risen Christ. You're going to see Jesus just a couple days before was hanging on that cross in shame. You're going to see him in a glorified body, glorified and victorious. There shall ye see him, and lo, I have told you. The Lord told them, go down there and tell them. An angel's testimony. I mean, these women went and they got the orders from the angel. And the angel told them, said, go and tell them this. And fear not. And I know you're seeking Jesus. He was crucified. But he's not here. He's risen. He's alive. Go tell his disciples that he's going to meet you in Galilee. And boy, don't you know they went and told. And if they hadn't seen an angel and an angel's testimony, then they would have been liars to go and tell those guys that Christ is going to meet them in Galilee, which he did, not far from that. The angel's testimony is proof of Christ's resurrection. The empty sepulcher is proof of Christ's resurrection. What else? Well, believe it or not, his enemies' lies is proof of his resurrection. The enemy's lies. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 11 through 15. It says, Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done, talking about the earthquake and talking about the lightning and thundering and the Lord coming out of that tomb and the angels that showed up and rolled the stone back, and all these guys were seeing this. You're talking about Roman soldiers, warriors. And these guys got their tail between their legs, and some of them took off running to go tell the chief priest, man, this guy come out of the grave. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, there's your assembly again. That's what religious people do. They assemble. Watch out for them councils. Watch out for them committees and all that kind of gobbledygook. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, well, what should we do? They gave large money, bribe. Let's bribe them. They gave large money unto the soldiers, large money, the scripture says, unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, in other words, here's a lie, I want you to memorize it and say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, why would they have to make up a lie about the disciples coming and stealing him if that's really what happened? Because that's why they told the governor to put the soldiers there to begin with, in case the disciples came and stole him. But that ain't what the soldiers told them. The soldiers told them the truth. Man, you ain't gonna believe your eyes what we seen. And they said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. They wouldn't have to make up no lie if Jesus hadn't rose up from the dead. If he was still dead and he hadn't risen from the dead, then that wouldn't be such a bad deal, them saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him because he's still dead, and maybe they did. But they're bribing these guys and giving them big money to say this. So the very lies, the very enemy lies, proves that Christ raised from the dead. You getting this? Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. We'll take care of you. We won't, because those Roman soldiers, they weren't supposed to go to sleep. They were supposed to be guarding that tomb. And that governor found out that them guys were laying over asleep, which they weren't laying there asleep. Find out that they was laying there asleep, he'd have them put to death. But all you religious folks happen to have some money, big money, large money, and gave it to the soldiers to tell a big fat lie that somebody stole his body. Why would they do that? Why would they have to do that and pay for somebody to say it? Because Jesus rose from the dead. The very lies that the enemies come up with proves Christ's resurrection. And if this come to the governor's ears, and we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. They made a big old lie up and said he was stole. And that thing went on into the future about, well, you know, no, he didn't raise from the dead. They stole him. And them soldiers went along with the lie, and all the hierarchy of the religious folks made it up. And all that proves is that Jesus did raise from the dead. You know, the most anxious to recover the body was the most anxious to recover the body never recovered it. They wanted that body. And there's people today that want that body. If they could find Jesus Christ's body, you know how that would change the world? If they found Jesus Christ's body and could prove it was his body, if they found one little old finger bone of Jesus Christ, you know what that would change in this world? Don't you know the news media jump on that like nothing they have ever been on before? If Christ's body was stolen, whoever stole it had the power to hypnotize Roman soldiers long enough to steal it. If it was stolen, the stupid thief wasted 15 precious minutes unwinding the body and folding up the grave clothes into a neat little pile, because that's how they found them. If it was stolen, the Roman government and the Jewish Sanhedrin could not find it in 40 years, even though an integrity of both was at stake. They never found the body. But there was a whole bunch of witnesses that said they seen him, and said they seen him, and said they seen him, and ate with him, and talked with him. And I mean, there was 40 days going on after that crucifixion and that resurrection that Jesus was walking around. Everybody, I mean, he showed himself to lots and lots of folks. And they made that big old lie up. So what? What are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about proofs of Christ's resurrection. Number one's an empty sepulcher. Nobody's ever found him. He came out just like he said he would. And the angel's testimony proves, is a proof of Christ's resurrection. And not only that, the enemy's lies, the very lies that they, all these smart religious mumbo jumbos come up with and trying to save their own skin and their own reputation, their own glory, and paying big money to do it. That proves Christ come out of the grave, folks. That proves he resurrected. Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. There's more proofs, but we're not going to go into them today. We'll pick it up on the next one, okay? And we'll talk some more about proofs of Christ's resurrection. So, recapping, what have we talked about today? We've talked about the characteristics of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, specific. We've talked about the characteristics of Jesus Christ's resurrection. That it was foretold, that it was presented in prophecy, and that it's announced by Christ himself, and it was proclaimed by the apostles. And then we talked about how Christ's resurrection was accomplished. It was accomplished by the power of God, by Christ's power himself personally, and it was accomplished by God the Holy Ghost's power. The scriptures say so. What else? Well, proofs of Christ's resurrection. The first thing that we talked about was the empty sepulcher. The scriptures plainly say and plainly declare. You're talking about 2,000. You're talking about a holy Bible that's talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago. Empty sepulcher. The angels' testimony, telling the people that showed up there to help them understand and put things together about what's really going on. He's not dead. He's risen. Go tell his disciples he's going to meet with you in Galilee. And then the very lies of his enemies proves Christ's resurrection. They wouldn't have had to lie about nothing if he was dead. Right? Right? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, well, good stuff, huh? We're going to stop right there, and we'll talk some more about our Lord's resurrection on the next one. We'll pick up right where we left off, right up under them enemies' lies, and we'll start with some more proofs of his resurrection. Let me give you the scriptures for today. You want them? Of course you do. Here they are. Psalm chapter 16, verse 10 and 11, and Acts chapter 13, verse 34 through 37. Then we got Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 through 12. Then we got 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Then we got Mark chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. John chapter 19, John chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. And then comes Acts chapter 2, verse 31 and 32. And then we have Acts chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And then we have Acts 2, 23 and 24. And then John, chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. And then Romans, chapter 8, verse 11. And then we read John, chapter 20, verse 1 through 9. We read Luke, chapter 24, verse 3 through 6. We read Mark, chapter 16, verse 5 and 6. We read Matthew, chapter 28, verse 5 through 7. And then we got to the enemy's lies there in Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 through 15. And that's where we stopped, Matthew 28, 11 through 15. And we'll pick up there on our next, if the Lord will, our next recording, our next study together. So there we go. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, specific. We're talking about resurrection, studying resurrection and what the Bible has to say about it. Very important, most important subject in the Scriptures, other than the Lord's, or one of the most important subjects in the Scripture, other than the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is mentioned the most and prophesied the most. The Bible talks more about the Lord's second coming than it does any other thing, just about. So, and we have a study on that also that's available to you. So praise the Lord. Right now we're studying about that resurrection, and praise the Lord that the Lord followed through and he done what was necessary so that we could sit here right now with a completed copy of God's holy word to tell us these things, past, present, and future. Amen. And all we got to do is believe and study and show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, the Lord bless you. I've enjoyed today's study. I get encouraged about reading God's word and about these proofs of his resurrection. I already believe he raised from the dead. I know he did. He dwells in me. He dwells in you. And he backs up his word with us, and he's faithful to us, and it's good to hear the Scriptures and see the Scriptures talk about the truths of our Savior. You have a wonderful evening, and the Lord bless you, and I'll talk to you on the next one. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.